to the best of the church's music for the season of Lent at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the season of Lent, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. You may have seen this. The image that I saw floating around was in and of itself just enough to get my attention. I didn't know what it was. I didn't even really care what the headline was. I saw a picture of people standing, well-dressed. Women were in white. The men were in dark suits. They appeared to be in some kind of a church. They were standing there. It looked like a wedding, except there were lots of brides and lots of grooms. They were older people. But what really caught my attention was that most of them were carrying guns, many of them the now infamous AR-15 they were holding in their arms. And then the headlines, well, the headlines just have to be read to be believed. Pennsylvania couples clutching AR-15s, rifles, renew wedding vows. That's one of the headlines. Another one, a mass of unusual sorts takes place in a church in Pennsylvania where dozens of revelers come to pray armed with semi-automatic weapons. And a third, if you will, Pennsylvania church hold blessing ceremony for couples with AR-15 rifles, comma, other weapons. Well, you must read on. Is it a church? Is it a Christian church? Those are the kind of questions that roll around in my head when I see headlines like that. Joining us to talk about media coverage of a cult group's mass wedding with firearms, Terry Mattingly, Senior Fellow for Media and Religion at the King's College in New York City, author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion. He's founder and editor of Get Religion. Terry, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Glad to be here.
Without Parkland in the immediate background of this story, does it make CNN a national public radio? Is it a national story?
Well, don't forget CBS in there as well. And I don't know who all else at this point. The cynic in me actually wants to say that this might be a national story on visual media simply because of the visuals. I mean, in your intro, you left out my favorite detail, which is the crowns made out of bullets. I mean, that's just right over the edge, you know, into certified almost Hollywood level strange, right? I mean, that sounds like something that ought to be in a comic book. You know, somebody wearing, some villain, you know, in some comic book wearing a crown made out of, you know, long, threatening looking bullets. So on one level, this story has everything, but you're right to assume that it is a bigger story with the Parkland shooting. Now, the leaders of this particular church, and we'll get into who this church is later, the leaders of this church did stress that they've done these rituals before and that this was scheduled before Parkland, but they didn't cancel it. Now, what I would love to know is, did the church itself do public relations for this event? How did people find out? Or was this something like say, a local newspaper or a TV station heard about it, and then it got a small version, got on the wire? I wish I had Nexus Lexus so I could run that down. That would give us more clues. But if this is really bizarre, if the church didn't promote this, I'd love to know how it ended up in the news at all.
Does it have the trifecta as far as the media are concerned? It has, I mean, if you read the story, it has guns, it has a negative view of religion, and it's got Donald Trump in there too.
Well, three strikes and you're out, I guess, but you left out sexuality. I mean, normally for something to get, you know, this big attention, you need sex in there somewhere. It is a mass renewal of wedding vows, but the photos are not terribly sexy in that sense. Normally, sexuality has been a part of almost anything that gets you into the news right now related to religion. But we are in frankly, in my opinion, for valid reasons, we're in a wave of national discussions of gun control. Now, what does this story actually have to do with gun control? To me, that's an interesting question to ask, because this story really doesn't have anything to do with gun control. Although some people noted that because this ceremony was held, a local school canceled classes for the day, which that's a really mysterious and strange connection for me, especially if they have held this ritual before and that wasn't the case. If you were looking for another way for this story to get in the press, that might be people who are activists or whatever at the level of the school hearing about this event, choosing to cancel school for the day. That would certainly make news right there. And then the dominoes start falling. And the next thing you know, you're on National Public Radio.
My boss relayed his reaction to this. He saw this on social media. I don't even know if he saw the picture. He saw the headline first, and he said, oh, no. You know, he's thinking something along Westboro Baptist Church, seeing pictures there. And only when he clicked on it and read further down did he realize, oh, okay, this is some offshoot of what we used to call back in the 70s, the Moonies.
Well, yeah, that's exactly who this is. In that sense, this isn't even linked to the alt-right as traditionally defined. Although several people I've received emails from people and seen things on Twitter noting that this particular organization does have its own militia. And, you know, the Associated Press, the 26 photo Associated Press report that I saw online, I believe Newsweek ran 26, so there might be even more photos than that, but a 26 photo AP report had the obligatory picture of a car with a "Please pray for President Trump" sign on the side of it, just to make sure everybody kind of got the point. You know, the Unification Church is controversial. It's controversial, though, in the past, it was very conservative politically and donated a lot of money to this candidate or that candidate. But frankly, I've never heard, maybe I'm just totally out to lunch on this and I don't know this information. I haven't heard any particular strange connection between the Unification Church and guns. So at that point, we need to stress that we're not even dealing with the Unification Church. We're dealing with a group that is now being ostracized from the Unification Church. So we're dealing with a splinter of the Unification Church. If that's too complicated for people, when the Reverend Sun Myung Moon died, he had a chosen heir to the actual leadership of his movement. We're dealing here with a different son, I believe. And obviously, a splinter of a splinter is a religious group that I don't know exactly what term we need to come up with there.
So that's kind of the slightly disappointing part of it. Let's deal with some of the terminology that appeared in the media coverage. Were the media right in using the term church?
Well, they were. The problem is whether or not, I mean, even if you call it a controversial church, that doesn't really tell you anything, because right now, in media terms, a controversial church could be a Catholic parish that does prayers near an abortion facility. It could be a controversial church. A Baptist church holding a commitment service where young people put on rings and vow to strive to remain virgins until they're married, that would be controversial, right? There's all kinds of ways a church can be controversial. I'm still sitting here wondering specifically, what does the leader of this church claim about his own religious authority? Are we dealing with someone who considers himself to be some form of messianic figure, as his father did, and perhaps as the older brother who got the top job. I'm assuming that that was the lineage issue here. Controversial church, that doesn't tell us anything either. The really big issue here, and unfortunately, unification is a long term, and splinter group from unification church is almost a headline in and of itself. So what you're sensing here is a valid issue for the media to be concerned about. They are scared to put the word cult in a headline. Now, that then requires you to explain what you mean by the word cult. And the Unification Church was, throughout its history, has been considered a doctrinal cult in terms of its spin. It's even more than a sect. The minute you have someone claiming to be a Messiah figure, you kind of move beyond sect and into the word of cult in the view of mainstream religious groups like the Vatican, the Southern Baptist Convention, and whatever. So the word sect is safer. Cult is accurate if you're talking doctrine. Now, where the debate was with the Unification Church for a long time was, did Sun Myung-moon have enough control over the lives of his followers, other than arranging their marriages? Did he have enough control that you could call this a sociological cult? Was he running the lives of his followers? And as the Unification Church story went on through the decades, I found more and more people, especially here in the United States, who were hesitant to say that this was a dangerous, frankly, that's what everyone's fighting over. Is this a dangerous sociological cult? I began to sense people were getting less comfortable calling the Unification Church a cult in that sense. The problem is out there in the media is that we have many, many, many journalists with no religion beat experience who are not even aware of what these debates are about whether you call this a cult. Do you put cult in the headline? So I've been trying to write a headline in my mind that would have tipped people off about this, and I haven't come up with it yet, but I would get there eventually if you put me on a copy desk and told me to write a headline on Deadline. But I would certainly put something in the headline other than just the word church.
Okay, that's the word church. When we come back, one of the media outlets used the term mass to describe the gathering. We'll find out what Terry Mattingly makes out of that after this.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
40 Years Greatly Blessed is this year's theme at Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois. We engage young adults in a Christ-centered environment and provide an alternative to secular public high schools. Please help us provide tuition assistance to more students by making a special 40th anniversary tax-deductible gift at melhs.org and click on the giving page. Or call me, Dr. Jay Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the season of Lent at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the season of Lent, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Have you ever wanted to better understand philosophy and its impact on your family, your church, or your world, but didn't know where to begin? Concordia University, Wisconsin has an innovative free online course for you entitled Philosophy Kata Kristan. The 6 engaging video sessions are taught by noted Lutheran philosopher, lecturer, author, and pastor, Dr. Gregory Scholes. Learn more by clicking the Kata Kristan logo at issuesetc.org. Issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Thursday afternoon, we're talking about media coverage of a cult group's mass wedding with firearms. Terry Mattingly is our guest, senior fellow for media and religion at the King's College in New York City, author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion. He's founder and editor of Get Religion. Terry, one of the outlets actually used the word mass to describe the gathering. What do you make of that?
Well, I mean, it's possible that it's a typo. And I thought about that before I put that in, you know, in my post at Get Religion. But if you look at the grammatical construction, it a mass of unusual sorts takes place in a church. We're dealing here with something that ran from the AFP wire, one of their visual features about this, a kind of a combination photo digital presentation online. It could be that these are people that just think the word mass means any service at all, any service in a Christian church. Thus, we don't know enough more that keeps us from saying that this isn't a Christian church. They're holding a service. It must be a mass. I mean, you could see how that series of dominoes could fall over on each other if you don't know what any of these words mean. It's also possible that was supposed to say a mass wedding of unusual sorts, or a mass, because, of course, the Unification Church is famous for its mass rituals that are weddings. This is a mass ritual of wedding rededication. But mass ritual of wedding, that's a really big typo if you lose all those words, right? So I'm just assuming whoever wrote the opening sentence of that article just thought, oh, mass equals religious service. Years ago, I was covering Mother Teresa visiting Denver, and she came for an interfaith prayer service on behalf of Denver, and specifically Denver and the poor, and to pray for peace. And this was a service that included every conceivable kind of Christian clergy, including well-known local Baptist leaders and other low church Protestants. Greek Orthodox, Eastern Orthodox were there. The Episcopalians were there. The Catholics were there. There were several rabbis taking part in this civic service of prayer. And Mother Teresa is the kind of the star figure. And so to some degree, this is a ceremony to celebrate Mother Teresa visiting your city. She ended up opening a branch of her religious order in Denver, quite to the surprise of everyone, especially the local Roman Catholic Archbishop, who thought he would be waiting 5 to 10 years before he had a chance to have one of her convents in the town. I tell this story because in the press conference, a television reporter asked Mother Teresa, "So is this going to be a mass today?" And Mother Teresa was so confused. You could see the look on her face. That was like, what am I not understanding? Am I really talking to someone who doesn't know that you can't have a Catholic mass with Baptists and Jewish leaders and, you know, and whatnot? She was trying, you could see her face, trying to make sense out of what the person said. And of course, the obvious answer was that what the person said didn't make any sense at all. And neither does this reference in this wire service item.
Let's back up a little bit. And you had mentioned that the media is trying to avoid the use of the term. I think you even said they're afraid of using the term cult. So two questions there. Why?
First of all, it's a very, very harsh word to use. The other reason people are hesitant to use it, let's put it this way. You can be scared to use it and you don't know anything at all about it. You just know it's a really, really bad word and you don't want to use it and be wrong. Okay, that's one level. The irony in this case, and religious vocabulary is sometimes like this, the more you know about the word, the more you know that your story is going to have to pause for a moment and take at least one or two sentences and explain what the word means in the context you're using it. And that makes journalists, that makes their palms sweat. I mean, you're going to have to explain a religious concept in your news story. Who wants to do that, right? So they're scared of it on two levels. You're scared of it if you don't know anything about the word cult, and you're scared of it if you do. The second for more valid reasons than the first. So how do you signify that this is not a mainstream church? To me, the quickest way is that you call up. You probably can do this from your cell phone using a browser on your phone in the church parking lot. You call up some other local religious groups and say, what do you think of this group out here? Is this a normal church? And you end up with one or two quotes from local religious leaders saying, no, that's a really strange group out there. Some of us call it a cult. Some of us don't. You end up with quotes from local religious leaders who do the defining for you. That would have been the quickest way to do this. But this is presuming that you don't view this story as some kind of strange clickbait feature to throw into the gun wars.
The other question is, what would qualify? So you're an editor, and they bring you copy, and it has the word cult in it. What kind of characteristics does a group have to possess where an editor's confident using the word cult without quoting someone else using the word cult today in the media?
Well, the editor is probably going to want evidence that they're dangerous. But the simple fact of the matter is neither the sociological definition nor the doctrinal definition of the word cult requires that this organization be dangerous to people outside of its own membership. And if this was a story about arranged weddings or how they treat their children, I think an editor might be more likely to push the cult button at that point. If you came in and described some very strange things about how they live their beliefs out. But I think the editor is going to want you to show that these people are dangerous, as opposed to these people are patently bizarre, which is probably what most editors were thinking the minute they saw this story on a wire. That's just really bizarre. What, you know, and they might have thought, what kind of church does anything that weird? And there might be editors that say, oh, maybe a lot of conservative churches. I mean, I'm sure that a lot of people saw this story, looked at the top two to three paragraphs, and immediately kind of assumed what you guys did there in your own little newsroom, which was, well, you better look this up. This is probably some really strange evangelical group. Because, I mean, right now, who can't believe that about evangelicals, right?
So for the editor, it's got to be Armstrong Riccio or Heaven's Gate or something like that to get a green light on the term cult, especially in the headline.
Yeah, probably, especially in a headline, right. Now, you noticed in the Associated Press report, way down in the story, they said a group that others have called a cult, referring to the original Unification Church. So they put that into play way down in their story. And in most American newspapers, as always, the Associated Press report is what you're going to see. You have a better story there, but how many people are going to make it that far into the story, past the headline and past the visuals, before they make up their mind about what they're seeing? The other strange word that got thrown into all of this is something that I've noticed in other reports through the years about Sun Myung-moon. They call him, they say that he is an evangelist, that he is famous as an evangelist, but with no description of what he's an evangelist for. You know, in that case, you're dealing with a man who is an evangelist for himself. He views himself as someone appointed by Jesus Christ to complete Jesus' work on earth. Now, that's way out beyond anything any Christian would believe, and yet Moon was an evangelist. I guess that's an accurate word, evangelist for that point of view. But if you just say Sun Myung Moon was a famous evangelist, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, how do you think the public hears that? As I put it, is he an evangelist like Billy Graham? Is that the point? Well, CNN used that exact formula to describe why Sun Myung Moon was famous. You know, before he died in 2012 at age 92, the elder Moon was a high-profile international evangelist for decades, period. Now, how would you interpret that sentence? With no other information about what he's preaching.
I would assume he's a Billy Graham I never heard of or something along those lines.
Yeah, you would assume he is probably a large-scale Christian evangelist. The next sentence was he was famous for conducting mass weddings, including a New York City's Madison Square Garden, one at New York City's Madison Square Garden, another uniting 360,000 couples in South Korea. Well, I mean, that's pretty strange, but it doesn't say how those weddings came about. What was controversial about his weddings was not their size. It was that church officials arranged all those weddings and that the people getting married were, in many cases, meeting each other for the first time at the ceremony, and that the church had the power to organize the lives of its believers and members to that extent. That's what was strange about Sun Myung Moon, not that he held really large wedding ceremonies. Do you see the difference I'm making there?
A final question for you, Terry. Did the media coverage of this Pennsylvania event adequately explain what the people attending the event were doing with guns and other weapons in their hands? What role the guns played in the actual ceremony in which they were participating?
Well, all you got basically was they did it because of something in the book of Revelation. And you got a slight explanation that the guns stood for a rod of iron in some sort of scriptural reference. But did anybody quote the scriptural reference? No. Did anyone ask any other religious leaders, find your local nearby Christian college or Catholic college and ask someone in the New Testament or department to explain what does the rod of iron reference actually mean? No. That would have required a paragraph of information, and it was time to move on to stranger things.
Terry Mattingly is Senior Fellow for Media and Religion at the King's College in New York City, author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion. He's founder and editor of Get Religion. Terry, thanks for being our guest.
Glad to be here again.
Friday on Issues Etc., we'll discuss women crossing state lines to have abortions in Illinois with Emily Trasinski of Illinois Right to Life. On This Week in Pop American Christianity, Chris Roseborough will answer the question, is the death of Billy Graham a prophetic end time sign? And we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Do you want a church with a rockin' band and a sermon series to help you live a better life? It's not here. Bethany Evangelical Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights offers authentic, historic Christianity to a world awash in fads and entertainment, and offers forgiveness of sins to people overwhelmed with guilt and shame. Join us Sundays at 9:30 on Old Collinsville Road in Fairview Heights, Illinois, to receive the life-giving gifts of God with us. Find out more online at bethanylcms.org.